Hi, Future Chad.
Hi.
No, no, not you. Future Chad. Say hi to Future Chad.
When listening and editing, when you're putting this together on the
Hello.
DVD.
Hello, Future Chad.
All right, Future
this
Chad.
This is older Chad.
We're about
you're
to
gonna
do
be like, older Chad is not funny.
We're about to do the thing here, Chad.
Primer.
You ready?
Yes.
You're going to cut it when I say
just
the beginning of the movie will be on the P and unpause. And you can kind of erase the pause part.
Pause.
3, 2, 1, unpause.
Hi, I'm Chad Peter, producer, director of Apocalypse California.
Who wrote it?
Who wrote it? You know, I think we just pulled it out of thin air.
Just sort of happened.
Hi, I'm Teague Christie. I'm a visual effects artist on Apocalypse California.
I'm Ryan Weber. I was also a visual effects artist on Apocalypse California.
It's my understanding that you have multiple Emmys, Ryan Weber.
That is true.
That's why we hired him.
How cool.
Oh.
Hey, look, that's me. If you want to know what T. Christie looks like, he's the guy with red hair on the beach. It was my first IMDb acting credit. Red-haired beach party dude, too.
It's the only thing we got you in.
Yeah.
How come we didn't get you in this movie, Ryan?
I don't know. I think you didn't know me when you were making this movie. It was a while ago.
That's true. You were kind of that guy I just kind of saw occasionally and didn't really care about.
Anyway, I'm really psyched that Apocalypse California is done. I'm going to pop open some champagne. This isn't radio theater. Really going to do it.
Everyone, this is a celebration because...
Oh, God. It's going to... On the mixer board. Here we go.
This has been 4 years of...
Oh! Off the ceiling. Jeez. Booyah.
Four years of filmmaking and...
Only four?
Done.
Is that true?
I don't think anybody thought we'd actually finish it. Sorry, me.
I don't know how many...
It sounds like a beer commercial. Ooh, yeah.
Frosty.
Beautiful.
I don't know how many features you're going to have on this DVD, but people like really need to
understand...
Hopefully
just one feature film.
Well, the features, like the scope of the process of making this film was just so long and non-linear and unusual, and that's what's sort of fascinating.
That's why we have champagne,
yeah,
man.
I saw different versions of it, you know?
I don't know. I can't imagine making a feature film without it being a process where you grow with it over time.
No, it's great. I mean, it's...
Well, bear in mind, that's how you get to George Lucas.
No. This
just
is
saying.
I think what's really kind of cool is that this is, you know, the independent spirit and being able to do it like that and not just, you know, be inter...
Ryan, that asteroid looked badass. Good job.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I didn't do that.
Yeah, I did that. That was my asteroid, everybody.
Oh, okay. Woo!
It's some filmmakers...
And those are my sunglasses on Libby. That's crazy.
Some filmmakers tend to just sit down, write a script, and stick to that and that's what you end up with. And sometimes that's great, and sometimes it turns out perfect, and other times I think it kind of helps us sit with a movie for such a long time. That
is this the first time?
Yeah.
This is not, by a long stretch, your first feature that you wrote, right? You wrote a bunch of features prior to this, and various versions of different features that ended up becoming various versions of the same features.
I think this is my fourth or fifth feature film script that I had written.
But this is the first one that you've done. You've done really long movies.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You did a 50-minute short film in the early 2000s, right?
Right, right. Drugs was a film I did a long time ago, and that was about 56 minutes long.
If it's under an hour, does that make it a short film? Is that how it works?
I have a buddy that works at Slam Dance, and
it just makes it something that film festivals don't like and don't like to see.
Yeah.
Really?
They don't like movies.
Shorts, huh?
In between short film and feature film, they don't want to see
it. If you just drag it out and make it really slow and
here's
boring.
Here's our credits.
Ooh, look at those credits.
Real quick, while we still have the asteroids up,
yes,
there's not much
talk
for me to say about them. Now they're gone. See, there we go. We just lost them. Damn. Wait, there's more. There's another shot, isn't there?
There will be more.
A lot of the motion of the asteroids, by the way, every time you touch the table, the people at home can hear it.
I know.
Just
I'm trying
saying
to be careful.
The motion of the asteroids and what they're doing and how they're spinning was all Chad. I guess you slugged that together in Final Cut or in After Effects, mm-hmm, like initially, and then brought me in to do all the 3D stuff in the movie is me. Yes, that's right. So stuff like this, he had like a temp picture that he had just kind of rotated through space, and then I built a 3D object and textured it, which was really hard. It's really impossibly difficult to get something that doesn't look like Armageddon, but doesn't look like the moon, but looks enough like the moon that your brain doesn't reject it. It's tricky. Like,
it's hard to make something like almost boring in a certain way. It needs to just look like a potato.
Exactly. It needs to look drab. It can't look very interesting, because if it looks like the Armageddon asteroid, then your brain goes, that looks like fucking bullshit. Now this is cool. Now Chad,
this is my favorite one, the Earth with the ass crack.
Right, because the problem is the axis of rotation here makes no sense.
That is an actual photo of Earth. Too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That axis of rotation, Chad, makes no sense, and it's still I think one of the coolest ones in there, because you know.
And that was one that I did in Final Cut. I actually just did. I took an image of Earth and I took a star field, and then I think you revamped it.
Yeah, I just redid it with the look of the other ones, but anyway. Visual effects are fun.
I made that shot more blurry at the beginning.
Let's talk about a little bit about how I came to you guys and said, hey, I don't know how to do any of these visual effects, and I have no money.
And there was a tough love thing where we threw it back at you and said, you can remove all your booms. How about that?
Right.
Booyah.
Yeah, yeah, because there was tons of shots where I had to remove posters that I didn't have rights to. And
well, you people listening at home, you know, you're hearing the visual effects, you know, artist commentary, and what you may not know is that Chad is certainly one of them. In fact, by volume,
he's done the most shots. Yeah.
He's in there. I mean, I was pretty impressed. He's dust-busted so many of them, removed that little spot off the lens, and like what, 50, 80 shots? I mean,
yeah.
As far as I know, Nick is CG.
I even did the visual effects for Nick's acting. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Nick is awesome.
The eyebrows are great.
I have such a massive man crush on Nick Mathis.
So do I.
What's up, Nick?
We've come a long way since Jar Jar.
Why don't you call me more, man? You came to well, here's how this worked. I'll just tell the story, and it'll be sad. Chad used to live in L.A., and then Chad moved out. And I used to live in Florida, and we both came back to L.A. at the same time. I lived in L.A. as a young child. And we lived in an apartment together in the San Fernando Valley and had green screens for sheets and shit like that. It was very sad.
Still do.
Kind of adorable. Yeah, we do, actually. That green screen is behind my couch. You can take it back home with you if you want to. I think it's Matt's now. And I was living with Chad during the production of all of Apocalypse. You hadn't shot Apocalypse when you moved here, right? So you shot it.
No, we shot it and started in 2007, and then I moved.
Right, so you would have been here.
With Nick to Colorado to start editing it.
Right.
And then I came back, and that's when we moved into this place.
So I was living with Chad for like half of the photography or more, and then all of the editing for like 3 years. Chad moved out a year and a half, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, yes, Apocalypse California was like 5 years in the making. It was like Jurassic Park. But I was around just because I was literally around, and I'm a visual effects artist, and Ryan's always around because he hangs out, and he's a visual effects artist, so who else was going to do it? And
That was my thinking going into it. Yeah. A big part of it was, you know, Chad would go around, and he would do these little screenings for a handful of people just at whatever stage it was at and just sort of see what
everyone thought about
it. That was
long after I was watching scenes in his bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Having a little, like, sort of roundtable discussion on it and sort of getting impressions, and we were both interested. And you know, he just sort of pitched it, and he's like, hey, is this something that you guys would be interested in helping me complete? And
I think it was a foregone conclusion for me.
We both thought it was cool.
I was always like, yeah, I'm going to be doing something on this shit. I'm just glad I didn't have to do the giant stuff, because that's tricky shit. That's a headache and a half.
And it turned out great. And somehow, I don't even know that we really had a plan for the giant stuff, besides...
No, yeah,
let's
you
just try this.
You had just shot
works.
Stuff and left blank space, and you're like, yeah, there'll be a giant there.
And then you were always like, I don't know if this is going to work or not. And then when you sat down to do it, it kind of turned out, and...
Well, I mean, the good thing was that you had the foresight to go, well, all right, I'll hook up with someone who knows what they're doing, and then we'll figure out how we need to shoot the giant elements. And so then we went out and we did our own shoots at the correct angles and got everything technically right.
I have a really cute series of pictures from that shoot day. Like, that was the last time you shot anything.
Which I still need.
I'll give them to you. But there's this really funny moment, because a lot of the times, the plates, we're talking about shooting plates of, can we spoil the movie? I'm assuming people have seen the movie at this point.
If they're listening to the visual effects commentary, yes.
I would assume they've already seen the film.
Or, if you haven't watched the movie yet, just, you're an asshole.
It's also likely they're very stoned or drunk if they're listening to this commentary.
Moly Mole, Sarah, we were shooting shit for the effects plates with her last. That was like some of the last stuff that was shot for the movie. That was just a year ago or so, right?
Yeah.
Or so, I guess. And the way they would get those, because like, it would be Ryan with the camera and Chad. No, yeah, that was it. Ryan with the camera and Chad kind of helping Sarah. And he would sit like beneath the edge of a rock. And Sarah would be basically level with the lens of the camera, right? So Ryan's lower than Sarah is on like the ground. And there's a rock and she's on top of the rock. And Chad would be sort of standing behind Ryan with his hands up in the air over Ryan. Because Sarah is just walking towards a cliff. So Chad just has her hands up, and I have this really cute little series of images where it's like, Sarah's walking, and Chad's holding his hands up. Sarah's walking, and she's kind of take step right, step left, step right, getting closer and closer and closer. And then the last one is that she's like fallen on top of Ryan, and Chad's trying to hold her up. It's really cute.
I was going to say we actually just found a giant. But
yeah, well, that's going to be a big blow to the GTS community.
It's true.
Hey, guys, we'll talk to you later.
Speaking of GTS, Anne's boobs.
Oh, Anne McDaniels.
They are giantess boobies.
Anne is a sweetheart.
I saw Anne at LAX like 2 years after you filmed this, so 3 years ago. Yeah. No, I was at LAX and I was like, hey, Anne. Wait, she doesn't know me very well. I only met her the one day on the beach. And it's like, she's like, hi, what? Who are you? I'm like, I can't explain myself very well. I'll just walk away.
This could take a while.
So I got a question for you guys. How many times was this something unique where somebody came to you and said, hey, I've got a little film like this? Or do you guys get this all the time?
All the time. Usually web series at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. Not on the scale of a feature film, though. Usually, for me, I guess. Now that I think about it, I couldn't give you a list of other features.
You get a lot of commercials, music videos, web series,
littler things. Yeah,
mostly music videos at this point and web series.
Well, I suppose we should talk about where we all kind of came from and where we met. We met through the Force.net. Has some forums.
Yeah.
And they've got a Star Wars fan film forum.
Long ago, the Earth cooled, and Star Wars fans congealed on the internet to talk about Star Wars cats and porn.
And that's pretty much how we all met, pretty much from there. And
all three were involved.
That's where I remember you like posting screenshots from this. You're like, here's some frames from my feature film. And I was like, holy crap, that looks good. What'd
like
you
Anne standing
on?
Up, and then the sky behind her is completely polarized, so it's darker
there
than she
one,
is.
Right, right. There was one
and Nick
of,
with the fireworks.
Of Aaron pulling the gun out at the kids. Or that was a shot, actually. You posted a piece of footage or something from that. Something where I saw the footage, and I got really excited about what you're doing.
The earliest stuff I recall seeing was on, for a while there, you ran a forum called MP2K, which I guess you still do, but no one cares.
Well, five people do.
Yeah. Is it going to be a thing, like when the movie comes out, that's the official home of Apocalypse California?
It's been getting more people back.
Oh, crazy. Cool. Because for a while there, it was just gone, and there was a Facebook group. NP2K.com, everybody.
Yes. Go bring back the forums on NP2K.com.
You had posted the first footage from the movie that you got in, like, 2007. Before that. No, it was the giant, it was a commercial, the news footage, where the guy's like, she was stepping on people, man.
That was the first thing
we
shot.
I saw people dying.
We shot that scene first, the little news segment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, by the way, if you didn't know this, that's Chad Peter going, fuck you!
And the giant footage in that, we'll get to it later, but the giant footage in that was done by Devin Reed.
Oh.
Which is just the foot coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just the foot coming down.
And the foot looks good. Mm-hmm. Devin Reed also did the effects with the helicopter, which are stunningly real looking.
He did, yes. It's all fake.
He filmed a helicopter.
But not really.
Look at Nick Mathis. Hey, what I love about this apartment scene is that we're sitting literally where they're sitting right now with the same table.
Oh, God, that's true.
Same couch, same table, same room.
And we're drinking, too.
Hey, cheers.
Hey, cheers to that.
Oh.
Clink, clink.
Yep.
I wish Molly Mole were here.
Sarah's a sweetheart, man. We were out.
She's terrific.
We were filming the giant. I guess that's the only time I saw her at one of the little house screenings that you had. I think it was here, and that plate shoot. And wow,
I had the experience that you described about not being able to explain yourself. Except I attempted, and she was confused. And then I was like, "That's all right."
Didn't you have that moment with Zachary Quinto for Heroes?
I made you like a giant, and we shot things, and then I did it in a computer. She's like, "Oh, that's awesome."
I've been staring at your feet for weeks.
So, okay.
You want to hang out?
I'm guessing that this is one of the times that you guys had a little bit more of a hand in the filmmaking itself as opposed to just doing effects on the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially me, because I've been here all along. I've been telling you what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you've been rightfully ignoring it. But I'm really psyched because the... we're not making this up. The movie was completely different. Like... 30% the same movie at the beginning of this.
Gonna,
like, it's completely different.
Are you going to have deleted scenes on
this?
Dude,
you could have like an Anchorman 2 sort of just the same movie with different scenes on there. Just so many things. And all along the way, it's like, no, not this, not this. And then, are we going to talk about how recently some plots were added to the film? Including
Molly Mole. Yeah, Molly Mole was a character that was not...
There was a finished version of the movie without Molly Mole in it.
Well, we shot 90% of the movie when we first... went out to shoot it, and Molly Mole was not a character in the entire movie. The giant was, but Molly Mole was not.
The giant was originally Nick.
Right.
No, it's a joke, kids. It's a joke. When you're writing your Apocalypse fanfic, don't do that.
It just seemed like something was missing from the story, and something needed to be changed around. So we created this character one day on set, and I was like, well, maybe we should just have this character named Molly Mole. Maybe she's got a clit that has a mole. And
it's weird how this movie just paints a picture of Chad Peter, really.
We just kind of ran with it, and that's how she came to be. And we went back. We had already shot 90% of the movie. I threw out half of what we had shot, rewrote the script entirely.
Mm.
And that was more, I think that was more of a problem with just not having any pre-production, to be honest.
Now, what I brought that up for was to make a point about how well I think the movie works, because I liked the initial cut of the movie, which was a lot more desert, and it was like... Paris, Texas-y sounding guitars and stuff like that. And this is an entirely different movie, but this is my favorite version of the movie, the one that's going out, which is, it sounds like a fortunate thing that like Rick McCallum would say about Attack of the Clones, like, oh, it's great. This is my favorite version of Attack. You know, okay, well, of course it is. What
this
else
is
you,
fucking great.
No, you know what was better?
What else are you going to say?
You know what was better? Yeah, exactly. Movie. It's like, it was in the last place I looked. No shit. douchebag. But this is my favorite version of the movie, and something about the way the music works, and Avi is a god. I'm a fan of Avi
in addition
to this. But something about the beginning of this movie really works for me, where it's the stated objective of the movie is to watch the apocalypse, right? And the first thing you see is a guy who is going from house to house trying to get laid, just thinking of girls he's known in his life, trying to get someone to sleep with him.
Which is funny, because that's not how it was originally at all.
I know, you completely stumbled into that. I'm like, that's genius! That's a perfect way to begin.
I was like, all right, the only character that people really wanted to watch for the first half of the movie before they go to Palm Springs is Nick's character. And there was all these other little plot lines that I enjoyed them, and I still enjoy going back and watching that version of the movie. It's just...
More people, like the kids that robbed the drugs from Anne.
Work.
That
kind
of stuff.
Yeah,
like she refers to the little, not even old enough to buy liquor, they stole my pot and all that stuff. There was scenes of those kids stealing the drugs.
Yeah.
And not just because they had naked Anne McDaniels in there, either.
Right, yeah. Unfortunate for everyone out there.
And McNicked. But this is my favorite cut of the movie. It's weird to say this, and I know you won't agree with me, listener, but I like this movie.
This particular scene was something we actually shot at once, failed miserably, and came back.
What went wrong?
Months after the fact.
I'm curious. Do you feel like it was just this quote unquote?
Nick was in blackface.
This is a 5-minute scene. It's really tough. I think it was written twice as long as it is.
I was gonna say, man, this is the only scene where I'm like a little long.
It was about 10. It was about twice as long as it is now when it was originally written.
Was there actually a clip in it?
There was only. I was trying to keep it on one master shot.
Oh, cool!
For
holy
10 minutes,
crap!
Which
Hitch Peter nice.
Didn't work, and we basically rehearsed the scene the first time we shot it. We didn't really get through it, and it kept us up until 7 a.m. And it was like the second day of shooting on the second chunk of shooting. And it ruined us for like the next 4 days.
I'm sitting exactly where Nick is sitting, and Anne is or Sarah
you
is
wish
not
Sarah
on
Smick
me.
Was on you.
I do. I'm smicking.
Yes. So what is the process for you guys as visual effects artists?
On a scene.
Speaking of visual effects, did you do some cleanup?
This is not a very good visual effects shot. This one I did really late.
People think we're joking. That was a visual effects shot where they bumped against the wall with the poster behind.
Because
them.
There was a poster behind them that was. A Marilyn Monroe photo on a
dude. You can't even say Marilyn Monroe.
It was done by Andy
Warhol.
Yeah,
and I called Warhol Foundation, and they were like, "Oh, it's going to be $5,000 for an indie film."
And you said gulp.
I said gulp. Do I have to clear it through Marilyn Monroe's people as well? And they're like, "Yeah, that's probably going to be more." And they're kind of a pain in the ass. And I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is going to be $12,000 to clear this."
So how does a efficient and financially savvy person deal with it? You just cover her face with a pink smudge, and it's no longer Warhol or Marilyn Monroe.
Right, and they're making out and they're half naked. So
but there are so many.
I don't think
shots.
People are really looking at.
No. Well, that's the point is that if you get it to not draw their attention and not be noticeable, then you've done what you need to do. And that happens a lot when they're in the house toward the end of the movie. You had to do that on
posters everywhere.
There's so many pictures.
That was just bad. That was just bad producing on my part.
So did you actually
we didn't have a producer on set.
Did you tell me that you actually filmed those little chapter things as like an actual projection on a wall that you did?
Everything but the text, yeah.
You actually high-8 footage or something?
16mm projector, and I just projected blank film on a wall.
That's fantastic.
And then just, comped it in and then put the font in there.
Chad, this is an intervention. We know that you love this shot, and we know that the only thing that stayed the same throughout all cuts of the movie is that this shot is in it.
This was.
But it's
rather cathartic. I sort of Chad was just burned out and was needing a trailer, and so I kind of cut a first draft of the trailer for Apocalypse California.
And you zoomed right through
and I
shot.
Just took the shot and I just ran it at like 1800% speed. Just goes up to his face.
Which I kept in the trailer.
Yeah, you kept a lot of stuff. It was good.
Yeah, that
you
was
tightened it up,
that was Nick Mathis's idea too to put those straws together.
Nick is awesome.
He's great.
Nick is a funny motherfucker. There's a bunch of really funny stuff that happened.
He goes on to become like a huge famous dude, and then he was.
That's what's crazy about Nick. Yeah. He's a director and a writer. And
if you're listening to this commentary, please find Nick online, email him,
and tell him to act more.
Yes, ask him to get back into acting.
But what I was going
to
say is,
really want to.
During your exhaustive ADR process for you, where you looped every line of dialogue in the whole movie. Yeah. To get every actor to do their line again so you didn't have all the nasty room tone off the camera. There's all these really funny moments where Nick was getting, I would say, loopy, getting slap happy. And the one that came to mind a second ago is that shot where the shirts are off and she's like, want to see it? And she pushes his head down. there's this funny moment where it's like Chad.
Let Chad
it was not part. It was not for the movie. It was not something he was ever going to use. It was just Nick being a doofus.
Well, because,
but Chad put like porn music behind, like boom, the boom, and Nick does this funny little thing where he's like, "You want to see it?" Push his head.
And during the ADR, Nick goes. It just comes out of nowhere, and Nick,
and it's like he's going down a roller coaster. Nick, it's hysterical,
especially on the PG ADR that we did.
Oh yeah, this movie used to have so many.
At this
fucks.
Point, I haven't even edited that together yet. It's ready, and I can't wait to see it as a whole because it's just hilarious. It
what
make
the
any
fruit,
sense.
Nick?
Yeah, we made a PG version for TV if it ever goes on TV.
There's the moment in the boat where, let's see. What's her name? What's Aaron's real name in the name
Jacqueline.
Of the movie? Jacqueline. Where Jacqueline realizes she has a fucking penis. And it's so funny because the way, if you don't know, the way they do that kind of thing is they'll have the scene, or at least the line, on a loop. So he's just watching it with a microphone in front of him on a screen in front of him. So it's just playing that line, dit, playing that line, dit, playing that line, dit, and he'll just say it over and over again. Why do I have a fucking penis? Why do I have a fucking penis? Why do I have... But then you have to do the PG version, and it's just Nick going like, why do I have a funny penis? Why do I have a fruity penis? Why do I have a fally penis?
Why
do
I
have
a flippy penis? Yeah. Just nine different versions of the same thing.
And I think that's how they got to, let's see, what was it?
Why do I have a funny penis?
Why do I have
that
the...
Was, I'm yeah, getting, I think that's what we ended up using was... Why do I have a funny penis?
I'm getting tired of these Monday to Friday snakes on these melon farming plains.
This scene, God. We actually came back and shot this again because this was shot. This was another scene that we totally reshot.
Nick getting drugged out.
Now, you shot this movie before the advent of DSLR and prime lenses.
Okay,
so how the hell did you get this soft, beautiful focus with a normal camcorder that we could all do nothing with in 2006?
Well, we came back and reshot it. Originally when we set out, we shot on a Panasonic HPX 200 camera with no 35mm adapter or lenses.
Is that really? Are there scenes that you shot with only that are still in as the final product?
Yeah, quite a bit of the movie actually is still without the lenses. And I was really kind of...
This was always...
I was worried that it wasn't going to work. And there is a difference between the two. For one, shooting with these lenses that we had actually desaturated the image as we were shooting it.
So, like, was that with the 35mm adapter, too?
Yeah.
So all the desert stuff was with the 35mm, right?
Yeah.
And that's, are you talking, and you're referring to that as being
most of the desert stuff. Like, this stuff is all with the 35mm adapter and Nikon lenses.
Which means that you're
not
using
even
a normal camcorder and you have an adapter to use film lenses on it.
Right.
When I first saw this, one of the things that struck me about it is just that it's really a handsome movie. Like the quality of it is really fantastic. And
Chad is a good photographer.
I was impressed just knowing that this wasn't shot on film. This was shot digital, and in 2007, when that's like you're on a low budget, it's really a struggle to get something that actually looks like a movie.
Yeah.
And I was always impressed by how much a movie this looks like.
I was on the set, so I'll talk about that. The moment where Nick is dreaming. Oh fuck, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
John Parsons is dreaming. John Parsons.
Yeah, all the night footage.
Yeah, where it's like, it makes perfect sense that there's this weird sort of Terry Gilliam memory of the scene that it was,
and
but it was at
that
night.
Wasn't...
But at the time you were filming it, I don't think you did. You have any sense of what you were going to do with that footage? Because it's certainly
it
not what you ended up using.
It was supposed to be.
We did
daylight.
We did the whole beach scene,
and we ran out of light. And I was like, "All right, well, let's just bust out the Kino, and can we power it? Yes, we can." Okay.
And was that Rico walking around next to you with
a dream sequence? All right, let's shoot it.
It was, and then you used awesome. It for something, and it was weird. And then you lost it for a version or two, and then now it's like, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly the kind of thing that he would need to remember that moment to sort of enact the genie dream. Speaking of which, we just had a moment where someone feels that you owe them an explanation. So give them 100% of what you know about the genie at this point. Come on.
At this point, what do we know about the genie? We don't know much about the genie. We may or may not recognize her as the newscaster. I would hope so, since she's the only Australian in the movie.
May or not.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing we really learned from that other scene was that she's kind of strange, and she says she can grant wishes.
I was hoping you were going to go somewhere like, well, you see, I was referring to the ancient works of the Faustian bargain. Well, you...
I
now, what's
to
cool
make
is...
This scene actually is one of the scenes that was not shot with a 35mm adapter. This was day 7 of shooting.
It looks pretty good.
Sure. And, you can kind of tell the difference because, you know,
there's not as much depth. Yeah, it's just sort of everything's a little sharper, but the color
is
kind of
pulling. This is still much better than I would have been able to shoot with a Panny or an XL1S or anything at that point in time. Like, that looks good. You damn good photographer, you. You're a bad person. But you're well, a photographer.
Can we talk about the magic beans theory?
I would love to talk about the magic beans.
Would you
theory.
Like to tell the yes. listeners? All right, what
explain
the
concept of magic beans,
theory is.
Well, on our popular film commentary podcast, downinfront.net, we talk about this thing, which is actually it's a precept. I think it's attributed to who is it? Blake Snyder, maybe one of those film theory guys. But the idea is that the magic bean of a movie is the one implausible thing, the one unrealistic element that allows the plot to happen. And there's really obvious examples of it in most movies that are either fantastical in any way or science fiction or anything. And often it's just movies. You know, in a dystopian future, men become infertile. Or or women, whatever children
That's
are men
the only
is.
Thing you have to
or,
buy.
Or for
go.
24 hours, for no reason at all, Jim Carrey can't tell a lie. That's a magic bean, right? Yeah. Now, it's stated and it's opined that you can only buy a movie with one magic bean. For instance, if you're watching Harry Potter and all of a sudden aliens show up, that's too much, and you lose all of your suspension of disbelief. Now, that's not to say that, for instance, Cowboys and Aliens has two magic beans. I haven't seen it, but on the face of it, it could just be a period drama with a magic bean. So, you know, it's okay. It's kind of iffy, but here's the thing with Apocalypse California. If a eagle-eyed viewer might notice that there are ostensibly 25 magic beans, but in my opinion, there's only two. The asteroid is happening, and a genie happens. Because the asteroid is just sort of there. It's basically window dressing for the movie until the end. It's right. just an object right. to build a ticking clock and tension. But the genie is what causes the giant, which is what causes the pills. It causes the body switching. So you can say that there's two magic beans.
Which is better than four.
It's not quite as good as one.
I always argued it that way in the beginning, but you know, a lot of it's. I mean, if you're still not, pretty yeah. like you're kind of confused. It'll pretty much up until about three quarters of the way through.
If you're not kind of just ready to go along with the movie on yeah. this ride, if you're not enjoying Nick Mathis for the first 15 minutes, you might have a bumpy ride because you're going like, wait a minute, pills now and body switching and there's a giant what? But really, they do fall under all the same heading of the genie's work.
The movie makes sense if you have patience and or like watching people act.
It is not a standard movie, that's for sure.
It is a weird fucking movie.
Well, that's what when I'm challenged to explain the movie to people usually who haven't seen it because it's a select few at this point. It's always a thing where it's like, well, it's a movie that you just enjoy watching. It's like if you can just sort of have fun watching these characters and what they do and their acting and everything and handsome cinematography, then
I'll just pop this movie on and watch it at home. There are entire TV series I've worked on that I haven't seen an episode of, let alone on air. But I'll just watch this movie because it's fun to watch. Now, it's not on a Star Wars Joseph Campbell storytelling arc level, but as I pointed out earlier, there are definitive character arcs. He starts out being this, and then at the end, and you know, the whole he goes from being kind of an asshole and being a little selfish and resigned to his fate. Yeah. And by the end of the movie, he says, "This isn't so bad."
He's
and
not then, a very likable character.
He's not, which is the opposite of Nick Mathis.
Do you say he's not a likable character?
Well, I mean, you look
at
him.
He's going around trying to get laid.
He's trying to get laid in the beginning of the movie. He won't sleep with this girl because he's heard that she has an implant mole on her clitoris. True. I mean,
which, by the way, how would you notice?
So ridiculous that. How would you notice that someone had an inch wide mole on their clitoris?
Well, when you say inch wide, there's an inch. Yeah, the inch wide is the issue, really. But like a mole on a clitoris might just be kind of redundant. It's just, you know, it's just a tall clit. Now, at which point does an inch wide, I guess. If it was an inch long mole on a clitoris, then it would just be a dick. I don't know, like a fruit bat dick.
Ambiguous genitalia?
Yeah, something like that. And that's a great name for a prog band.
I love that when he delivers that line, it blows her hair back. That's fantastic.
Nick, like,
the word
penis blew his throat out. Like, he could not speak for shit after that scene.
That's so fun. That's so
This
funny.
Was one of the first...
I love these two in this scene.
I think it's funny because the beginning of the movie is where most of the old footage that we shot stays. Like we didn't cut. We cut a lot, but we kept a lot of scenes.
All of the plots that are still in the movie, most of the plots that were ever in the movie are still there.
Right.
There are just entire plots that are cut out at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
The drug dealers.
We cut a half an hour out of the first half of the movie, which is now the first third of the movie.
We cut a half an hour out of the first half an hour.
Right. But yeah, there was this whole story, you know, this was pretty big. I actually shot the scene. She talks about the pills falling out of the sky. We actually shot that scene.
Hmm.
I don't think I ever edited it. It was never in the movie at any point in time.
I guess
we shot the kids coming to her house looking for those pills.
Right.
And it really, we had one actress who played three different characters in the movie because she cut her hair every single
Anastasia.
Time I wanted to come back and shoot her scenes. She she had recut her hair every single time, so we had to keep creating new characters. Like, oh, this is the twin sister of that other British speaking character.
Wouldn't it have been a problem?
That's a Chad Peter visual effect shot we just saw, wasn't it?
The pill.
The pill.
She had
the
a seashell in her finger.
The pill was fake, and
I love this delivery. Do you think someone cut us open and switched our brains? He sounds like Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters. Okay, who brought the dog?
This whole concept is pretty ridiculous.
I think it's what's weird is. I think it's really compellingly acted. I think it's you have this wonderful. This is if you want to go back to Campbell and your Aristotelian and all that stuff. Not Aristotelian, Campbell. This is the refusal of the call, the refusal of the what you think is happening in this case. But it works for me, and I think without that scene, the movie wouldn't work as well because you have to have that moment where they're like, this absolutely can't be happening. It is moving on. It's called hanging a lantern in screenwriting parlance, where you say. If you think the audience is going to say this is retarded, you have someone on the movie say this is retarded, and then the audience is like, oh, they know.
Good. Well, it's weird because at no point does he ever like really embrace it until the end of the movie, which is part of the point, when they're at the house and then Anne's there, and it's like, fucking party your ass off because who the fuck cares, right. You know? But until then, he doesn't really accept what's happening. He's just sort of dragged along.
Let's talk about what's about to happen.
Whoa, uh-oh. Where'd you get a plane, Ryan?
Uh-oh, I stole it off YouTube.
Oh, my God. Don't tell anyone.
I won't.
So
now
this
is
people about
this is
this
great
upcoming shot here.
Great stuff.
Yeah. Here's our first exposure to the giant shot. We're looking up, and it's lots of, you know, I mean the thing with these yay explosions from deadfilmshd.com. Bob forward, yay. Good stuff. The fun thing with these giant shots is it's always like about establishing the scale and trying to make it seem believable. More jets, yay!
They turned out better than that. I thought they would.
Yeah.
No, just like the matching of the giant.
Right.
The angle and everything like worked perfectly.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to shoot exactly what we needed for the shots, which really helps.
You should have done it with Ryan Weber. He could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
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 But it's really about just trying to make people believe that it's big and far, not close and small, which is surprisingly challenging. So it's always you'll notice like a lot of these shots for you know, very little reason have like smoke or dust or crap in front of them to help
give you a scale,
help sell that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. What about the.
This is back when people actually used flip phones.
What about that shot that's in the trailer? And in fact, it was one of the early posters where it's her coming up straight center line to the camera looking up and there's no scale at all.
Yeah.
That one, was there anything? Aside from the, I guess, the final version
that one,
has
you,
the
you added
the
quite
asteroids.
A bit to that shot. We can talk about it later when it shows up, but. There were some shots where, it was just the giant was in the frame, and you mm-hmm. had to add some atmospheric stuff to
right.
make it look.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's
that distance.
Yeah, I mean, it's things that you look at and your eye registers as not being small, which is just smoke or things blowing around in the foreground, even if it's very very subtle, and that worked for it. And then also just keeping everything in focus because you're not used to being able to see a camera hold focus on someone's feet and their head at the same time when you're shot. Is an inch away from their foot.
Right.
So we were very deliberate in trying to keep everything sharp.
I love how constantly Erin is paying attention to the fact that she's a dude when she's performing these lines because, like, Anne's tits will come into frame and she'll just be like,
oh, that's the most brilliant thing in the whole movie. I love that shot. She just looks over and she's like, oh, hey, what's going on here?
I just love the idea of Anne being this rag doll in the backseat. Just like,
yeah, there it is.
It is funny how, like,
just
you know.
This character that loves sex so much, it just.
Is that yeah? Because she's the only one who like gets like knocked out for like 9 hours after taking the pill. Everyone else just kind of like whoa, spasms out and then is cool. Yeah.
I am afraid of spooks. Now you've got two framing devices in this film, Chad. You've got your Act One, Act Twos,
uh-oh.
And you've got your 3 days, 2 days.
You got your countdown.
So can I talk about something here really quick?
Yes.
So a lot of the movie is actually pretty blatantly laid out for you in these little. News sequences, you know, it's like they talk about the
an
nukes.
Overnight craze
None of
a new sex drug has taken
That's,
flight.
They talk about
several
the
sources
nukes.
Claim the drug simply fell out of the sky 2 nights ago. The FDA had no comment other than we're looking into it. Hyphen the mayors of Los Angeles and San Diego both have offered their support to the Orange County area's attack, despite a general disbelief that the news of a giant is true. Burrito sales have skyrocketed across the nation.
I swear to God, almost I have everything. Seen this probably 12 times. I have never read that scroll.
By the way, we skipped right
there's
over...
There's another scroll in the movie, too.
Another of our buddies, Brian Finifter.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like Mad Max and saving chicks. That's basically Brian. That's Brian giving an ornate and decorative performance as himself. Brian Finifter as Brian Finifter in Apocalypse, California. Because he is Mad Max, or at least he wants to be.
I can't for the life of me make a serious movie about something as serious as we're all going to die.
Well, you know, this movie, you say that, but I don't know if you realize what you've made, George. Because it's a dark movie, and it has a, at the very end of the movie, it's, I, at least, sincerely feel the dread. Something about, and if they're forgetting about the dread they're supposed to be feeling, there's one just throwaway shot of the moon with the asteroid next to it that makes you go,
Oh,
they're going to fucking die,
Well, yeah.
Now, the whole
nice
time you're thinking, there's no way the asteroid's going to fucking hit. They're not going to do that. And then it apparently does. And at that moment, I'm like, I love this movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the ending happens, and it's pretty awful.
And then it's nukes, and everybody's like, wait, what?
You Hollywood motherfucker.
Nukes? What are those?
Was there like a boardroom scene where you had everyone dead, but they said you had to have a happy ending, Chad?
Yeah, I think the original. I think in the original script, everybody did die.
They did, yeah.
I can't even remember. It was like 12 revisions ago.
I love the face change right there. Oh, get over it. You're fine. And then he's like, I am fine.
I guess I am okay.
Okay.
Huh, that's interesting.
Now, you guys have seen who knows how many versions of this movie.
27.
How do you feel about this version? Do you feel like there's still some things missing from it? Let's start with you, Ryan.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think I came in kind of late in the game as far as all those revisions were going. The version that I first saw was probably mostly this, just with more stuff in it. I remember the main thing is you were just trying to get it down to time. So there was scenes were just a bit longer, and there were a few that just were deemed unnecessary and just sort of got clipped out. I mean, the crazy thing for me is when we were all doing little LAN parties here to work on the effects, one of them was at my place.
Which were awesome.
And you brought your computer and you had all your old G drives with a bunch of like previous edits of the movie, and you played us a couple scenes from things. And I'm like, these are characters that have nothing to do with the plot, and these are plots that have
nothing
no
to do with the movie
connection to the movie at all. I'm like, how
did you ever see the bowling
scene?
The bowling alley scene.
There's a bowling alley scene that is fantastic.
There was the house break in with where Anne is going to attack him with a plunger,
and then one of Anastasia's scenes in the parking lot.
Where she had a British accent, kind of.
Yeah. But I was just like, I was sort of blown away by it, like the apparent evolution of what this movie was became this.
It was so cool to watch this. The voice of one guy who didn't direct the movie on a commentary for the movie that you just didn't like. But take my word for it, it's a miracle that this movie makes sense. It does make sense. It's a miracle that this movie makes sense. And it's stunning that there's all the little pieces that he got for a different reason that came in to be like the exact thing he needed to tell this one little point.
Oh, the magic of editing.
The thing with the phones on the boat is a miracle. There's no way that should have worked. The thing with the dream sequence, no way that should have worked. There's a bunch of shit like that where it's like, I can't believe you got all those elements and there it was. And then at the end, you shot the sunset scene where they're in the car listening to the radio. You'd have a whole version of that without Sarah in it, and at one point you use shots from the version with no Sarah at all from like a year before.
Yeah,
and then
we edited Sarah in.
You put her in.
I would just
like
to say I replaced
shot.
These pictures up on the left there. Mm-hmm.
Good track. That's a look at that beautiful gradient map. Chad Peter, everybody, orange to
Chad
blue.
Chad Peter and his graduated ND filters.
Yes. Now, Chad, let's see. Chad,
Nelson, the colorless.
You sit the fuck back right now. Me and Ryan are going to talk about what we learned about Chad Peter by watching Apocalypse California. Chad Peter, let's see. He wants a drug to change sexes.
Sure.
He's in fact very interested in the female genitalia.
Yeah.
As I correctly said, talia. And he's obsessed with tuning radios. That happens a lot. That happens over and over again.
A lot of radio.
In my next
played.
Short film.
Indeed.
Is it really in Pear Blossom? That's crazy. You are obsessed with FM radios. Let's see. What else is there? There is the giant thing, which we found out after the fact was a fetish. should we go into that? Should we tell that story?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Later.
And you like color correction.
Chad's the only person I know who shoots a movie where the dailies look like final color corrected movie, and then he decides later he wants to make it neutral.
Right. The beautiful, beautiful raw footage of this movie would stun you. It was like he came out of the camera and he's editing it. I'm like, when did you have a chance to color correct this? He's like, I'm logging right now. This is just literally playing off the tape into the computer. I'm like, God damn. And then he'll edit it down and it's like, oh, I made it gray.
This scene,
I love things that come from suffering.
I want to talk about the plot of this movie for a second. Actually, this character, okay. Anne McDaniel's character, because this scene is where I really got on board with this whole thing. And I was like, this is fantastic. Because I love a character who is like, this is the most unlikely thing I've ever heard.
This is awesome.
But this is fucking rad. How can you not be jacking off right now? Like, that's perfect. That's outstanding.
I'd just like to point out that that edit that we just saw right there was actually shot a year ago.
Which
and
one?
And then the beginning of the scene was shot a year after this half of the scene. Because we actually had shot...
Everyone looks remarkably similar.
Yeah, strangely. But this is without the lens adapter.
Sit
and
the
first half of the scene
down.
Was with the lens adapter.
Actually, the way she says it is, down.
Down.
Sit the fuck down.
Cammy was the giant!
But I don't know. Anne walked in for auditioning, and I always thought that she was the character.
The weird sort of snappy, freaky, kind of funny drug dealer?
Sex-addicted drug dealer, yes. Yes. I just thought naturally that Anne had
Well, it's clearly
charisma.
From the north of the America. Sit the fuck down. fuck down. She sounds like
Anne
she's from
Duluth. Anne is a sweetheart. Anne is great.
Only that shot.
No, she is cool. And she's really, I would say, blown up, but that has wrong connotations. No, she's gotten more everywhere.
Notable gigs. Yes.
She was on Conan and stuff. Mm-hmm. She was
You'll see her at every single convention known to man. She's at Comic-Con every year.
I never see her. That's weird.
That's because you're not paying attention to the head.
I guess not.
So I did the poster replacement of that in the back.
I like that she can... Did she take a little lick of the pill? Is that what she did?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, she didn't sniff.
She's like TJ Hooker testing the cocaine.
just a little lick of the pill is like you got part of like a hand
just
job
the tip.
Through
just
the
tip.
Pants. just a tiny bit.
I would like to say that the pills... this movie is actually... based on two movies that I did before, Sex and Drugs.
We're
going to
talk about them. I was wondering if we're going to talk.
Sex and Drugs. And the body switching comes from sex.
Yep.
And the pills come from drugs.
Was Rebecca Regan ever in this movie at any point?
No, I did ask her to be. Rebecca Regan was actually...
In both of those.
In both of Sex and Drugs.
So is this the climactic finish to the trilogy in your mind? Or is it just thematically similar?
I was
going to
try and make a movie that was kind of based on both of them. And we never quite...
Sex was about... A guy who becomes a girl that he likes.
Right.
And then Drugs was about drugs that make you feel like you're having sex with someone, and this girl is addicted to them.
Yep. And I tried to fit those both in here for whatever reason.
And then by the time you realize, oh my God, I'm just making a feature that no one will ever see those short films, and now this doesn't make sense, Genie.
Which is part of the reason, yeah. part of the reason. The Genie was in there from the get-go, but I always kind of thought the asteroid would kind of be the third magic bean.
God. By the way, I remember at one point we were doing one of the house viewings, and every time you cut back to that golf, you have like stock footage of a golf hole. This was the same day we did the beach shot, and that water was freezing.
You were saying golf.
But the golf hole, it was just retarded. Just like, oh, and there was a golf course by this house.
And golf course.
It has nothing to do with the movie.
There you are.
I would like to say
when I went underneath.
The fireworks
shot. We can talk about the fireworks shot in a minute.
I love the fireworks.
When we're in that water, there was like a giant jellyfish under the water with us. I can see it in the footage. Like they're making out, and then we go under the water, and there's a jellyfish like floating right next to
them. Hey guys, how you doing?
And then they come back up. I didn't notice it until after the fact.
Wow. I need to go back. Is it in the footage?
It's not actually in the footage.
Oh, damn. I was going to say. That's crazy, dude. Jellyfish are awesome. I was swimming in the. I grew up around the beach, and I didn't realize that
jellyfish
were.
I have scars on my arm from jellyfish.
I always thought they were like one of those far off creatures that you'll never actually see in your life, like a hippo. But no, they're everywhere. Like if you go in the water at the beach, you can find jellyfish pretty straightforward. Like, oh wait. Yep, jellyfish.
And
right
it
there.
Turns out they're douchebags.
Best commentary ever.
We got champagne an hour ago. So
fireworks shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me. Does anyone else want to do this? Can I do this?
Yes. No,
go ahead and do it.
I had beef with Chad Peter for a long time.
Because I took it out.
I put my beef in Chad Peter.
I remember because you didn't have it in the cut that I edited my first trailer to, and I'm like, you need to give me the fireworks shot so I can put it in. And then you didn't use it in the trailer.
He shot
anyway,
this amazing fireworks shot on accident. There were fireworks in San Clemente, and
we planned it.
You were doing it
on
the 4th,
planned.
Right?
Are you sure?
It was planned from
you
the
told
get-go.
Me that you just were like, oh shit, fireworks.
Not
Nick, stand there.
Not to
we,
be used
we
for
knew,
that.
We knew there would be fireworks there, and that's why Nick was with me, and I had the camera. I had to borrow the camera and everything.
You never had an intention for the shot in the film, though, right?
There was a whole scene, actually, where Nick
It was just some of his drunk stumbling
around.
There
was a scene where Nick finds a dead body. He just finds a dead body rotting, and nobody seems to care. Everybody's kind of out enjoying these fireworks. Just because it's the end of the world, and everybody's having fireworks, blowing off all the fireworks every night.
That would have been a nice precursor to the nukes, actually.
Yeah. It was just kind of this. It felt like the movie. It never really felt like there was an apocalypse. There was a riot scene as well, where Nick like beat some dudes up who were about to rape some girl. I mean, there was some darker shit going on. In the
also
of this
in that
movie,
in that bowling,
I just couldn't do because I didn't have the money. Yeah, the bowling.
In the bowling
scene
that you cut out, like the whole thing is like, doesn't he like just he just breaks through the front window to get in, just to walk in.
We left the door open
We paid $800 to rent a bowling alley.
Oh, that bowling alley.
Cut it out of the movie. And
this is my views do not reflect the views of Chad Peter. Those guys were assholes, man. Those guys sucked.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was there, motherfucker.
Dude, you were there for, like, all this stuff.
Not all of it, but a lot of it. And what happened was Chad had this bowling scene, and he finally found a bowling alley in Eagle Rock, California that would let him film there. On a weekday, during operating hours for the bar that was connected to the bowling alley, and they were having a concert at the bar when you were trying to film.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah, you're going to have it to yourself. Not only was there another film crew in the bowling alley
really?
At the exact same time. There was one. They were shooting a documentary on the other side of the bowling alley. And I was
there
like,
was literally a punk rock band playing in the bar, which is connected to the bowling alley.
God, I mean,
I love how he just like biffs that like cup behind.
They let us stay like an additional 25 minutes, so I'll give them credit for that. But it was...
That sucks, though.
A message from us to you. Go bowling. The more you know...
What were we
See,
about
this is what the footage looks like right off of Chad's camera. I swear to God, it looks exactly like this.
Golf course.
See? That's two. Take a drink.
If anybody'd like to know how to actually use a camera, you should usually use a filter, because I think those are the one thing that people forget to use. Is
yeah, I agree with
polarize
that.
Polarize the
sky. Now, how do you get the Chad Peter look, where there's a dark sky and it's got a gradient going up on it?
I had three different filters on the lens. I had a polarizer filter, which you can kind of play with.
It can
kind of darken the sky.
But it's also if you're like shooting through like the front windshield of a car.
A polarizer.
It's like those sunglasses you get for fishing, so you can see through the shine on the water to see the fish.
If you want to pick and choose how much reflection you see in a window, you use a polarizer and you can rotate it and kind of selectively decide where you want it.
Right on.
I also used a graduated ND filter. ND is neutral density, and it
which means make dark.
Graduated means it's like a fade off.
In a gradient, yeah.
So you guys know the BBC show Top Gear? That's a graduated filter.
They put it on top of the... Yeah, they usually darken the sky, and the rest of the image is fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll get wacky with it and, like, angle the thing so it's not going straight down the frame. It's, like, at a weird diagonal.
Really? And a lot of this movie, actually, with the exception of this stuff, which was shot with the 35mm lenses, I actually kept it on for scenes you're not even supposed to keep a graduated filter on inside.
Mm-hmm. Just because you're...
Just to keep it...
You're hard to deal with?
Continuous. Just because I don't like white walls, usually, and having a gradient filter on
a
lens will give a gradient to a white wall that looks otherwise...
Is that why you'll have, for instance, an implausible red light bulb on the stairwell?
Yes. Yes.
That's just lighting.
I don't know. I've always been a firm believer that a movie is a movie and you should keep it cinematic.
Make it cool.
Even at
like a full color noir.
Yeah. Even at the expense of sticking a red light in the background or some
high end.
Hanging some my train of thought there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Anna in about a year and a half now.
I'm seeing her now.
Oh my God. How's that champagne working out for you, buddy? Silence.
All right, you were using a Letus adapter? Is that what you had?
Yeah, it was a Lettuce? I think it's called Lettuce.
A valiant effort, Ryan.
I've always called
Letus
adapter.
No, I've seen people on YouTube, and it's usually like the British. They're like, it's a Lettuce adapter.
I've always called it the Letus adapter.
That's what I always
Everybody else calls it the Lettuce adapter, which makes me feel like I'm eating a salad.
Exactly.
I can see that there's a gradient. Okay, this shot right here. This is a beautiful shot. What's going on here? Is that just polarized to all hell so the sky is darker?
That's an HMI. That's not the sun, first of all. That was a...
Oh, nice.
A HMI.
You clever motherfucker.
Blasting from a totally different direction than it was supposed to be.
I love her repulsed look when she licks the girl pill. That's perfect.
And
God, it looks so cool.
This might be one of my favorite shots from the original. That I was just like,
I was
on the ground, hand holding the camera on the ground. Basically,
it's painterly because of the texture of the wall. It's kind of...
This is actually my mother's, my mother and father's house in Palm Springs.
Mm.
They actually own this place, and I was like, oh, good film location.
You want to give the address?
Nowhere.
I used inspired by Chad's work on this movie.
Dude, that looks like
I got a Letus adapter and stuck that on the front of my HVX 200 to do a shoot, and like, holy crap, is that the most unwieldy piece of crap ever? Because it's so heavy on the front of a camera that's already kind of heavy.
Notice everything's on a tripod. You can't hand hold that thing.
Yeah, it's
to save your life.
When did John change his shirt? He used to have this weird Capitol Building shirt on. Did he pack for the apocalypse?
Considering we had no prop department or art department or
I'm not giving you shit. I'm
just
asking. I'm asking an in-universe question.
I think
question.
There's only one spot in this. It's amazing that only one spot in this movie actually has a
continuity
change
error?
That isn't
really
right.
When
and
is that?
I can't even remember where it is. Maybe on purpose. I can't remember.
Who we haven't really mentioned so far that we need to mention?
Hmm.
Eric Branco.
Yes.
Branco.
Who?
Mr. Branco.
Rico.
Rico came out.
Have you ever met Rico?
He came out for two weeks.
I don't think so.
Holy shit.
Out.
He's the guy at the very beginning of the movie. He's like, that chick is bananas. Oh, wait, that's not even in this cut.
What? I don't
it's
know.
He's the guy who's talking at the beginning. Borrow him. You can steal him. Make it 20. He's the guy with the dreadlocks.
Eric came out. When we first came back to shoot all the rewrites, Eric came out for about 2 weeks, and we shot.
Just helped sort of.
Using his camera and then his lens adapter here.
He was there for the bowling alley scene.
I think you know, we ended up keeping probably about half an hour, 25 minutes worth of footage that he was out for.
Rico is a cool motherfucker.
Rico's a pretty
Rico
funny
is
dude.
The picture of chill. There is not a person on the planet who's ever not liked that guy.
And he's got
he came to stay at my house in Memphis, and my mom loved him. That's Rico.
This is a guy from the Bronx.
This is a guy from the Bronx with dreadlocks and tattoos. My mom loved him. Like, that's Rico.
He's got a feature film brewing right now. You guys should check it out. It's called Stay
Cold, Stay Hungry, I think.
Stay Cold, Stay Hungry. Mm-hmm. And he's still working on it. I don't know when it's going to be finished, but keep an eye out for it.
Did we kill the champagne? Is that done?
We've got some wine.
Champagne's done.
Want some wine?
You should bust out something else.
All right. Yeah, all right.
We've also got tequila.
Keep this party rolling, you know?
If you want to do the proper apocalypse
cup. That would be appropriate.
Here's my cup.
Just give you something?
Anyway, so this scene was interesting. This is all ADR, first of all.
Like
90% of this movie is ADR. This is all dialogue that's not actually in the movie. And this might be the only scene that... Oh, God.
I give it the thumbs up.
Tiga's
holding up margarita mix and
Patron.
And Patron.
Cool. At least it's Patron Silver. All right. That's good.
Let's do it. Listen, you should have to be drunk to watch this movie.
Really
should be drinking
this
a margarita.
This is suddenly turning into the Cannibal the Musical commentary track. Which, if you don't know...
Cannibal the Musical
by Trey Parker, Matt Stone, yeah. South Park guys. They did a film at my alma mater, and they did a commentary track where they proceeded to get absolutely shit-faced
totally
to the
wasted.
Point that they forgot they were recording the commentary, and it wasn't recording for 20 minutes. So there's just 20 minutes of silence.
If you ever wanted to know what it's like to hang out with Trey Parker and Matt Stone when they're getting progressively drunker, listen to any commentary they've ever done.
So if you think this commentary is, you know, shoddy, you should go listen to theirs.
I think we're fantastically on topic here.
This is one of those scenes that this wasn't in the original script at all, and it just felt like it needed to be there. There just needed to be this kind of sit-down moment where she's frustrated. She just had this argument. You know, they had this little fun, little goofy dance scene, whatever you want to call it. And then there's this fight, and now they're kind of focusing for the first time on like, I feel like this is the first time in the movie where it's like, okay, we might actually end up dying from everything.
They have to sort of take a break and discuss what's actually going on every once in a while. So it seemed like this is actually really sort of refreshing from just the chaos of the previous scene where it's like, what the fuck is going on? I don't believe you. Blah, blah, blah. And then they're fighting and, you know, all that kind of business.
And yet Renee, played by Anne, she's so, like, she seems totally, like, careless. She's like, all right, well, if we're going to die, then fuck it. Let's have a good time. And why are you sitting here being a little bitch?
But this is a good scene because you really get kind of the other side of her, too, where she's really, you know, cares about people and is wanting to know what's going on and is,
right.
You know,
it's not
tending
to
her wounds on her head.
Not just a pretty blonde. And, you know, the next thing we're going to see, obviously, is the where they're sitting down watching the news.
Right.
And we finally see the giant again.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, and
it's
kind of like,
chaos.
Oh yeah, okay, so maybe this wasn't, maybe they weren't hallucinating the giant on the beach,
right? Because
that's like the first time I know.
I guess
that's
true. You could think of that at the first time you see it. It could be, well, maybe they're
a lot of people thought it was,
I never even
hallucinating,
heard of that.
Like, because they just took the pills on the beach, and a lot of people just thought it was.
But you did have the news reports after that where people were actually talking about
it, which was added specifically for that
to make it legit, like it's a real
thing.
To make
it seem like
it
actually happened, because. Okay. I didn't want people to be like, oh, they just tripped it out, and that's where it came from.
Here's one thing that I'm still iffy on. At the time when Cloverfield came out, you were like, shit, and then you were like, oh, I'll just get an insert of her saying this, And then now we've all forgotten about Cloverfield.
Can I tell the story?
Go for it.
So Nick and I.
By the way,
real quick.
That reporter actress, if you're watching this DVD, high five, lady. You brought it. You're great.
That's my friend Shayna, who I think she bartends down the street now.
She does look like she's about to cry.
And we shot that. That was one of the first things we shot, and that was on purpose, by the way. The green screen falling down.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, I've had people actually say, why did they keep that in there? Is that a mistake? And I was like, no, I wanted to show that the world's falling apart.
Again, real quick, this guy from the early footage, him, right there, him, yeah. Also amazing. I completely buy that he's in shock. Like, he's great. I saw people dying, and I completely buy it. I don't buy you as the cameraman going, fuck you! Ah!
Yeah, that's right. I am the cameraman in this.
By the way, if you want to see
You're also
some...
the bazooka man later, right?
Well, I'm the voice of the bazooka man.
You know what's cool about commentaries in the YouTube age? Just go ahead and type in Freddy the Precognitive Retard on YouTube to watch Chad Peter screaming about ice cream.
Oh, God.
Go. Anyway, you were gonna talk about something before I cut you off. The Cloverfield story.
Yes, Cloverfield story. So we were still filming during the first part of the shoot in San Clemente, and Nick was with me, and Transformers was coming out, the first one. And so we went, and wow, have they really made a trilogy in the time that this has been made?
Michael Bay
sucks. Three Transformers movies in the time it took you to finish yours.
Three massive special effects epics.
There's
Devin Reed.
Devin Reed.
Go check out his completed fan film, Prelude to Hope. That's an inside
anyway,
joke. Sorry, guys.
The trailer that nobody knew about before they saw Transformers was for Cloverfield.
Where it just had a date on it. It didn't even have the name.
Right. And so, you know, of course, then we just had this little...
It
seemed
Godzilla?
A lot like... People were posting on my forum suddenly saying, hey, Chad, I didn't know you were releasing your movie in like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to make a Cloverfield joke in there, even though this was well before Cloverfield.
And well after.
And well after.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. No one would have even probably thought of that.
How deep is that pool? Does it got like an 8-foot section in it somewhere, like a deep end?
I would say 10 feet at the deepest.
Oh, cool. Can we go hang out?
That's pretty deep.
You can drive.
It's like a nice pool, man.
I would just like to say, filming this movie was a blast. So for 2 weeks, we brought all the actors to this location.
That was the most commentary thing I've ever heard in my life. I would just like to say, filming this movie was a blast.
Well,
Thank you, Leno.
It was two weeks.
Go on.
2 weeks with all these actors in the Palm Springs house, and we would shoot all day and then drink a good portion of the night and wake up a little hungover and get up and film again.
That's awesome.
That was
two weeks
of filming. And
Chad, is this a you visual effects shot right here?
That was me.
Good job. Matching the color, buddy.
Yeah.
Most people would get that wrong.
That asteroid's not real.
Fuck you. I made it. I worked my ass off on it.
This scene.
Not real my ass.
This was tough.
This is one of my favorite parts.
I love Nick.
People
it's
love
just
this
a loner.
Scene.
It's just a loner.
Would you believe it? This was a scene we created on set. This was...
And this is a split screen.
I sat down with a piece of paper and wrote it, and then Nick kind of came up with little funny beats, and
genius.
The cock was his idea.
Genius.
And,
I never got that it's a cock. That's hysterical.
You never
I just thought
that?
He was giving her a rooster. Like, he's that drunk.
Are you kidding?
I never got the cock joke. It's funnier if you think of it my way, where it's like,
no,
I got
it's
you
not
this.
Funnier.
It's only a loner. It's like, well, what's the point of giving me this rooster? What are you kidding?
Oh, it's a cock.
I never got that joke.
Oh,
that's crazy.
God.
And how does it make you feel?
I never read the scroll.
I think it's less funny now, to be honest with you. I think it's wittier, but I think it's less hysterical. You know, it's like it's the end of the world, and I hand you a rollerblade. It's just a loner. It's like, what? Why would you? That's useless. No. I'm sick of your shit, and she walks away. Like, that's how I thought the joke worked.
It's a cock. That's genius.
It's clever.
I love when she gets you two waiting to cornhole me.
She's got a leopard print. Where did you get that?
Can we do a thing real quick? I've never heard someone do this on a commentary before.
Oh, God.
But, Ryan, will you do a slap-based porn sound?
Wow.
That was okay.
So what was the mise-en-scène in the scene? What was your driving motivation factor for the lighting? I noticed a pattern of yellow.
I think this was 2 a.m.
Oh, yes.
God. Are any yellow. Of them, have you guys been drinking on this day? Because they're playing drunk pretty well.
No, it was more drunk with frustration because it took us... This was the fourth time we shot this scene.
Really?
Really? Wow.
Originally, this scene didn't exist. It was on the bed before they have sex, and we shot the beginning of the sex scene, which turned out more like a molestation scene, so it got cut out of the movie.
Go on.
And actually, it's funny because when
we started to screen this movie,
I noticed it was Chloe, for one. The women were like, I want to see the sex scene. And I was like, really? Why? It's two girls and a guy.
Well, there's a lot of character development that could happen in a sex scene with two girls and a guy. But
turns out all women are lesbians.
Chloe is the straightest girl I've ever dated. And she wanted to see the sex scene.
Yeah, I guess, you know, people wanted the payoff of...
so to speak.
The payoff, but I wish I had kept... Nick says a line here where he puts on, like, gloves and walks. You can
it's like Tyler Durden.
We actually want to
finish her off.
We stayed on Nick, and I'm sure it's going to be in the bloopers or whatever, but we just sat on Nick for a minute, and he just kind of sits there, and then he reaches under the table and pulls out these rubber gloves and slaps them on and stands up with this look on his face and runs off to the bedroom. And that's how the scene originally ended. I knew we'd cut it out, but...
Is there going to be a Welcome to the Rodeo anywhere on the DVD? Can we tell that?
Oh, yeah.
That's the funniest thing.
So... Okay, so there's a backstory.
There should be a question mark on some menu.
One of the times that we were supposed to film the sex scene one night, and we didn't do it because
only the people who are interested in the visual effects commentary, they get the real dirt, the real good stuff.
Well, everybody was kind of uncomfortable with shooting the sex scene.
Welcome to the rodeo.
Yeah, so we sat down to shoot it, and we didn't have anything, but we had Nick in his boxers, so we.
And a cowboy hat.
So I was like, well, let's fucking shoot something.
It's like a Sergio Leone shot.
We set up a chair, and we had Nick sit in it, and he's like staring at the camera.
Now, here's the thing, though. The important part is that you're in the backyard across the pool or something, and you're zooming in from like 40 feet. So it's like extremely wide shot of the house with a guy lit in the window, like rear window, looking out through you, and he's in his no shirt hat, sitting in a chair with a bottle of tequila in his hand. I sound like I'm telling a story about Bill Paxton and Twister. And he chucks the bottle into the Twister, and he says, have a drink. No, and he's crash zoom in, like a massive zoom, like a 600% zoom.
Yeah. Boom.
Welcome to the rodeo.
And it's that's all he says.
Hysterical. And you ended the first trailer with that shot, and it's so fucking funny. Oh,
well,
my
actually,
God.
I don't think it actually showed up in the original trailer.
I remember downloading
right
that clip
now,
at some point.
It's in the... ooh, I'm about to plug. It's in the third episode of Roleplayed.
Oh, shit, you're right, on YouTube.com.
At the end of the credits, so if you want to go watch my
shit,
other
that is
web
online.
Series Roleplay. Called Roleplayed,
episode
3, sit through the credits,
wherein
and then
Nick
you'll
Mathis
see it.
Is hilarious
you'll
in
see
the
what
first
we're about.
Episodes before he dies.
The thing about the thing about Nick Mathis is that I don't know if he realizes this, but every time he opens his mouth, he says something that you'll just quote for the rest of your life. Like, there's a moment in Roleplayed where he's like, they're role players. They're sitting on the carpet, and Nick is getting increasingly mad at another character. And at one point, he's just like, hey, hey! Slaps him across the face. Roll the goddamn dice! I've played board games weekly since then, and it's never not happened.
Weekly?
We play board games all the time. We get drunk and have Cranium.
Oh, Cranium. Okay.
Yeah.
We
Roll the goddamn dice.
It's an in-joke now.
Hey, how's that Don Julio working out for you?
Don Julio? It's going.
Yeah, so this, people actually asked, are you going to take off, like they wanted to actually know if we're going to get rid of the string.
You should be filming car commercials.
On hand?
I didn't notice the string. Yeah.
Like they were like, why don't you CGI that out? I was like, well, what's the point? She's practically naked already.
But then she'd be like totally naked, man.
Is this what you were talking about when you said, I'm the only person who puts filters on the lens and then goes back to reverse it to make it look like a blue sky?
That was Ryan that said that, but yeah.
Because this whole scene just came in sort of in
perfect.
This super warm yellow western desert color, and then you kind of pushed everything back into it.
Everyone in this movie has good hair. That's annoying.
Out of the blues.
Look at all these guys' hair.
Yeah, we didn't even have a hairstylist or a makeup person on this entire film.
But how did you look so good throughout? That's the hard part.
It's naturally good looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. We're about to see... a major scene here, and the first instance of a meteorite hitting the ground.
It's true.
I've heard good things about the particular plugin for After Effects.
Yeah, I didn't use that.
You didn't use particular for the meteors?
Oh, for the ones in the sky. Yeah. I made. Well, that's a nice thing. That it's
this is the visual effects commentary. We assume you're a nerd.
Should, yeah, we can get back to that. So, well, the first one that drops down on the ground here is actual. Like it's like a flare, you know. It's some element that I got somewhere from a flare that falls and just has a nice little smoke pattern, and then a little dirt hit on the bottom. But the ones that are in the sky, it was fun because me and Chad, when we were doing our little land parties, the whole thing is like,
I need this, and you were like, give me 10 minutes, and you created it, and that's basically what we stuck with.
Yeah, we're all together, and you're like, okay, we need these ones that just are in the sky that are just sort of falling. And we were talking about like a jet contrail or the footage that you have on YouTube when you look at meteorites that just sort of is this slow breakup thing. And so I'm like, yeah, that I did. I went into particular and I made a thing in 10 minutes.
We referred to him a couple of times, we should point out. Three times. We did two in my garage on successive weekends and then a couple weeks later at Ryan's apartment.
Yeah.
We had the...
air conditioning.
Yeah, that was much better, man. It was the summer. It was like July in the garage.
It was in
hey,
Teague's
man,
garage
with
the door
memories.
Open, and we were just...
No, I really enjoyed that kind of stuff.
I really want to
do that on future,
yeah, there's
on
a meteor.
Future movies.
There you go. That's the particular meteor we're talking about, the one that Ryan made in 5 minutes, because it's amazing. And we went into my garage, and we cleared it out, and me, Ryan, Chad, and Matt Feta Veda... Why did I call him Feta Veta? No one knows the...
No one knows what you're talking
Matt
about.
Matt Veda, who was our like tracking guy. He tracked all the shots that I did nuke stuff for. Spoiler! We literally got there on like at 10 in the morning on Saturday and stayed there until midnight on Sunday with all our computers in the garage just cranking out shots. We did that three weekends, weekend one, weekend two, then a few weekends.
Those meteors
look
very vivid on this edit we're watching. I'm not sure.
It might just be
my
TV.
Hey, it's a giant!
Yeah.
I had to work real hard on extracting them from the sky.
Great shot, man.
That's a trailer shot. When I saw that the first time and it was only people just running away from an empty sky, I'm like, that's a trailer shot.
You
Chad,
did.
That's awesome.
You were definitely like, oh, shit.
Now, why are all these military guys in blackface? That's what I've always wanted to know. Their faces are
desert,
like,
man.
Look how dark they are.
Oh, they've got camos on, man.
They
need to hide in those few bushes.
Whoa.
I love it. I must say that it's a great
shot.
That's
my favorite giant shot, I think, when he shoots the bazooka.
I mean, it looks fantastic when you just watch it.
And people don't... Oh, that one's fun, though, too.
Good one there. Where'd you get that the gore element there?
Some of that's Video Copilot, and some of that is I took a bunch of I needed bits of human, and so I took, like, things like I wadded up a shirt and taped it together and then put it on a string and then spun it in front of a green screen and, like, a
did
box.
You realize?
Yeah, no, yeah. I totally shot all these little just bits of stuff and then just color-timed it red and put it in there as stuff that flies
off. Let's talk about how we...
Yeah,
how
I want
to
go.
Because we had to shoot the person falling.
Right,
and we shot Brian Finifter again.
Nah.
Brian Finifter,
he's
the Mad Max.
We had to shoot the upper half of the body moving.
Yeah, I told you what you got to do to get the flaying. You don't try to like hang him or anything. Just do an upper body flailing, and then do a lower body, and then I'll just try to connect him at the waist, and then we'll go.
And it worked
there.
Really well.
It looks great.
It actually came out okay.
Now, what was interesting about this was that after the first trailer came out, the main trailer came out, the one that's the official trailer that's probably on this disc, maybe not. I don't know.
That we're just giving you things to do for your DVD. It's
sorry,
like
I would just like to point out really quick that I did the ADR for both the Marine and Aaron there because apparently we didn't get Aaron's
ADR.
Minute, so I literally am both of those characters.
What does Aaron
ADR.
Say there? What do you say?
He says, you know, you're on your own now. Good luck. And she says,
thanks.
Thanks.
That does sound like Aaron. You do a great impression there. That's, yeah, totally. All right, so here's the story. And this is interesting. And those GTS people that were waiting for the callback, here it is. We put out the first trailer.
What's GTS, first of all?
GTS. Well, we put out the first trailer, and there is just amazing music, great visual effects, interesting, attractive young white people. I think I'm going to watch this movie. But some people think, hey, holy crap, because as we found out by comments, like one person would post like, cool, a giantess. And it's like, oh, well, I guess she is a giantess because, you know, giant,
sure.
I guess I didn't know there was like a... You know, a gender-related thing there. But sure, giantess. That makes sense, I guess. And then, like, the next one was like, can you address the rumors that you monsterized her face? It's like, I never heard any rumors.
It's like a political...
Like, there's no comment in the YouTube. You go back, page. No one ever said, you monsterized her face. Can you address the rumors that you... Like, where is that rumor happening?
Where's the conversation? Yeah.
So I took it upon myself to message that guy and say, hey, is there a conversation about Apocalypse happening somewhere? And he says, yeah, but it's kind of weird. You might not be into it. I'm like, all right. And he says, yes, there's a, well, here. And he sends me a link to a forum, and I register as Apocalypse Ka, as you will. And I find like a 15-page long forum conversation on a community of people who have a giantess fetish. That is a giant woman jamming them up their vag or chewing on them or stepping on them fetish, right? That's a thing that happens on the internet. And apparently it's happened a lot, and they formed a big community, and it's a huge damn forum. It's massive. It's like 40,000 members online right now kind of forum. You know what I mean? One of those really huge ones. And I'm paging through this, and I'm like, this is crazy. This is really interesting. I never knew this was a thing.
It was like a huge deal that the Dude Wears My Car like
had
like a giant
scene.
No, we had no idea. We had no idea at all. And the and those of you that just bought the DVD, I'm sorry there's not so much giant stuff. We didn't know you existed. We would have done more if we knew you were there. But the weird old factoids about this. Like, for instance, there was a Levi jeans commercial that came out years ago that we actually looked at for reference.
We referenced the Buddy Lee commercial.
The Buddy Lee commercial came out. And it was a giant girl walking through the street. You might remember this. And she's like pushing like telephone wires out of the way. And she walks past the window and you can see her tits and that kind of thing. And apparently, and I'm learning this all from retroactively reverse engineering what I'm hearing on this forum. Apparently, the community at large, not necessarily the denizens of that forum, but the community at large, freaked out the director and lead actress so much that what was going to be a campaign of large woman commercials became a one-off because they were so weirded out by these. That was a thing. Huh. And then they're really, really hyper-vigilant about people weirding out the community at large. So when that guy posted Monsterize Your Face, and I was
Everybody else, what's going on here?
On the forum, they were like, dude, you're going to get us fucking... God.
They're gonna find us out.
They were really worried about that. So I had my account. So I just started. I was like, Chad, is it okay if I answer these guys' questions and don't address anything else? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And they're like, so when's the movie coming out? It's like, well, we don't know. We're working on it. Blah 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 blah. And just sort of, I became a part of this community. And what was really cool, what was really awesome about this, is that there was this weird sort of grassroots movement on the forum. We'll see if it panned out now that it's on a DVD. Well, I have no idea. It's not out yet when we're recording this. But there was a grassroots movement where it's like, you know, otherwise we would have probably pirated this. But since you're so cool and you're here and you're talking to us and you're answering our questions and you know, giving us information about it, that's really interesting. And we're so glad you're not weirded out by it because it's happened before. Buddy Lee. That's great. And it's really wonderful because we so rarely get a really good looking giantess movie. I'm like, high five, Internet perverts. What's
hell
up?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And by the way, I'm not calling you perverts. I'm calling you perverts. Whatever, I'm not perfect too.
I was so delighted when I heard about that. I was
so
just
fucking,
like,
and I was the one who got to tell Sarah. By the way, she came out
really,
to watch.
Really?
She came to one of the house parties after this has all happened. To house parties, you know what I mean? Is we got into my house. We stuffed 40 people in this living room and watched the movie. And I was like, Chad, have you told Sarah yet? And he's like, no, not really.
I did have a talk with her about it eventually.
At the time, you were like, I haven't. I was like, hey, Sarah, I know we met once that one day when we were filming your giant shit, right? And that was a year ago. And this is the second time. It's weird how weird the, you know, serendipity. But here's the deal. I was like,
there she is, the giant.
Beautiful shot.
Oh,
anyway.
I put clouds in there. I forgot. Yeah, it was just a blank sky.
Anyway, high five, GTS community. Thank you for coming out.
It's very interesting. You know, most fetishes are based in real world things, and I don't understand it, but it's not something that to me that
I think it applies into the dominatrix thing, just being controlled.
Yeah, and
you're being so giant and
right.
more powerful over you,
it definitely
just,
makes sense to me. I can definitely parse the fetish. There is some shit I don't get. That I do.
And there went the giant. That was the last shot of the giant.
Can we get a little round of applause for Ryan Weaver?
What did you do?
Beautiful visual effects, Ryan Weaver.
What did you do to? Because I remember looking at those shots like of just the giant against a black blue sky, and I was like, "This doesn't look like this. Looks like somebody was on the ground and somebody had some person standing above them." How'd you make it? How'd you give it that distance?
I think a big part of it was
Can I guess real quick?
Huh?
Can I wager a guess?
Yeah, sure.
You might have done a gradient so that she is basically less opaque against the sky, or at least more the color of the sky higher up she goes.
I think I did do that. I think I did put a thing to indicate
like a ramp that she is up in the haze.
Yeah, like there's atmospherics that are actually in front of her head but not in front of her feet, and then also putting the clouds in and the meteorites of course too. So the stuff that's really far away. Being just as in focus as she is helps to indicate the scale because it's like looking up at a skyscraper, you know, not looking up at someone who's 3 feet away from you.
Did you add a bunch of clouds in?
Usually on those, I just said, all right, fine, there's just in front of her because whatever, she's stepping around, I guess. And so,
how long did those shots on average take you?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think those particular ones were the easier ones because I didn't have to nest her into any shots. There wasn't a plate to put her in. It was just her on her own. The ones where it's like I have to work out her integration with where her feet are stepping on things and stuff like that. And key her into something, too. Because on those ones, I have to actually extract her out of the plate, which oftentimes was just her stomping around. And there's actually things behind her that need to get removed. So there was, like, you know, rotoscoping.
The one that impresses me is where she kind of cups the sand and picks him up and some sand comes off of her hand and all that. That's that's a lot of gags at once.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it's like it's a lot more work. But whenever you have an opportunity to do that work, it helps it so much that you're looking for excuses to do that kind of – to go to those lengths and go to that trouble to get it to – to get it to work. So it ends up paying off.
It's funny because
they work out pretty well.
So all this stuff inside of the tent was shot poolside at the Palm Springs house.
I love the light through the fan.
And then we cut outside into the middle of the desert.
When did you get all the really close-ups of Elizabeth Libby's face doing like the talking to the mic stuff? Was that at the same time?
That was on like day 8 of shooting. Yeah, that was some of the early stuff that we kept.
Meteor.
If I had the opportunity to do this again, I would go a little less heavy on the hazy balls there. That's supposed to be it's supposed to be something where it's so bright. The difference between the exposure of the asteroid and the Earth is so massive that when you're keying from one to the other, not keying, but when you're ramping from the exposure level for the asteroid to the Earth, you end up with a bunch of the dust particles on the lens because it's so bright. But that doesn't really work for me very much anymore. So I would change that if I could, but I can't.
What would you do differently?
I would basically just remove them. I think everything else is pretty okay. I think the asteroid's a little fuzzy. It's a focus thing. It's supposed to be focusing away, but it wouldn't really need to be.
I recall the first time you did it, it was even heavier, and I was like,
"Yeah, it's iffy."
Mellow it out.
Optical flares had just come out, and I was excited.
Yeah, I love there's
very very subtle meteorite effects that I had to do through this entire scene.
Well, I was gonna say the part we were talking about where I made that thing in 10 minutes, and then I gave it to Chad. And I'm like, "Here you go, you know, have fun if you feel like tracking it into other shots." And he went nuts. He did this one where it's out of focus.
All those threw into the background and just threw them out.
It's really hard to track.
Yeah, these shots were not easy to track at all because there was nothing.
It's easy to track a composite element into a shot if there's something really in focus at the same plane of distance to say, okay, it's moving like this thing. Just track that thing, and then you apply that movement to the other object.
Fortunately,
when it's out of focus, it's really hard to do that.
You can't really tell how the background is moving all the time in those shots anyway.
Yeah, it's sort of a forgiving.
You can only really see the mountain. And that's pretty much – I actually tracked the mountain.
Mm-hmm. No, you did a good job. I mean, they're really working.
I'm impressed. Yeah, man.
Really did like 4 or 5. I mean, I did the ones with the giant in it, and then I did, you know, 3 or 4 other ones, and then you really just took those and just splattered them all out through the rest of the scene. And it's so fun that for the back third of this movie, anytime you see the sky, there's like a meteorite or two falling in it. It adds so much to the shots, you know. It's so little adding so much. It's really, really cool.
Scene cracks, man.
This is your good dramatic scene.
Every time she has that line.
I stepped on so many people.
Sarah
does bring it.
I honestly believe her in this performance that, like, she's like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. I apparently am a murderer, a mass murderer. how could you possibly respond to that?
And what's crazy is that Sarah actually does acting stuff, and she's gotten extra roles on big TV shows. We were watching How I Met Your Mother at my apartment one night, and it's like,
what the hell? What is she doing here?
She what randomly, the fuck, moly mole?
Randomly shows up as a Minnesota Vikings fan. Is that their team? Yeah. Which is funny because Anne McDaniels used to be a Vikings cheerleader.
That's pretty funny.
This is my not surprised face.
Aw.
You know, the other ones didn't zoom, Chad. Why are you making it zoom?
See, this is why I was
trying to be overly dramatic.
This is why I was saying that his character's a douchebag because he finally is like, oh, now that we've got an hour left. Sure, I'll like you.
Watching what would be the dailies, the raw footage of this with Nick when you first got it in, before you color corrected the shot, he was like, that sunset belongs on a raisins box.
Raisins box.
Because it's like, in the original footage, it's like white, yellow, pink, red, green, blue, purple, sky.
Speaking of Eric Bronco from the
Rico.
Bronx, he was walking through the back of the shot and he had to be removed.
Yeah.
What an
asshole for walking.
He walked right through the sun.
What we're saying is always hire Eric.
Right. Clearly.
Shut the fuck up. He's a working man. He's trying to get
I was actually
job.
Really worried about the little meteorite shots coming down and hitting the ground.
Yeah.
You did a fantastic job with that.
Oh, well, there's only two, I think, right? Or
what
three.
Did, what did you
there's
do?
The one that goes right next to him that you don't see it.
How do you create the elements for the ground? Do you just go find those on?
Yeah, no, that's just a thing. I think those are even the video co-pilot ones. So go to
little dust hits.
VideoGoPilot.com. He's got this just sort of dirt bursting from the ground that are just.
You're talking about the Action Essentials package, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they just work. Yeah, I mean.
These are things
works.
That are online for people to find.
You have to buy them, but
for
yes.
them to purchase, yes, indeed. But the falling, the little smoke trails is a real element that I got from somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. But
But it works.
We actually got, if you can believe it, we're out in the middle of nowhere near Palm Springs here. And we had this woman make a beeline for us. She just started walking straight at us.
Wow.
We're out here in the middle of nowhere.
Insert scary music. The hills have eyes.
This woman comes out of nowhere, and she's like, can I help you? I was like, no, probably not. You
probably heard us.
Yeah. We're out here, you know, trying to film the scene. And she's like, well, this is, you know, endangered land. You can't be here. And I looked around. And I was like, really?
This land sucks.
I was like, what's out here? You know, she's like, this is a wildlife reserve. You can't be out here. And it's, you know, it's against the law to be out here. And I was like, well, can we
But you didn't jump
for...
any fences.
Did you, like,
you
pay her
off
or something?
Well.
Oh, you did? Oh.
I'm not admitting to anything.
Okay,
here.
I understand.
But
did you have to like pay her off, or were you just done by that point, or did
no,
you have to get inserted
like,
somewhere
here,
else?
We'll shoot a scene with you.
I mean,
and that woman's
no,
name
I was
Anne
like,
McDaniels.
I asked her. I told her we'd be finished shortly, and we ended up finishing. You know, not shortly, but uh-huh.
Hey,
this
we're back
was a
into
shot that we actually came back and tried it. Try yeah. again.
It looks like a
I
Chipotle
still feel
burrito.
Like
it does, doesn't it?
You're the second person there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's that's the shape of that.
If we had another $5,000 to go back, I'd probably
do it again.
Go back for that shot for the third time.
Yeah, and I'm still not. There's two shots in this movie that I did that I'm not super psyched about.
Of all the VFX in the movie, that was the only shot I felt like that stood out as.
Yeah, it's still it's iffy. It's hard
it's
to
tough.
Do.
It's tough.
The camera's panning.
You've
never seen something like that before. Like, there's no way to cue it properly.
It was exceptional.
What does it look like to go by in the sky, not hit the Earth, but potentially? Because it has
it's supposed
to misdirect
to
you.
It was tricky.
You know, like the moon,
it's
you would presume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
But
and
when it's rotating, then
look
it looks
like
fake, and then it's tracking. So if you move it the wrong way, it looks really, really wrong, et cetera. And this is the other shot that I'm okay with it, but I'm not super psyched about it. Is it coming up? That's yeah, good. Here we go. Oh, boom.
Boom.
Which is cool looking, but it's, you know.
It's all video copilot.
There's just more tweaks I would play with. No, dude. There was some video copilot in it, but no. But all of these nukes.
All the lens optical flares.
All of these nukes. This is my big sequence. Ryan had the giants and I have the nukes. And these were fun, man. These were really cool. And what was really interesting about these effects is that very rarely do you get a chance to, yeah, look at that shit. Very rarely do you get a chance to do an effect that literally changes the exposure and lighting of the scene. Like, there's not an effect on screen right now, until now there is, but it's changing the lighting of the whole scene just by its presence, and that's something you don't get to do very often, and it's really cool, because everything is kind of stained red.
So do you actually do the ones where there's not a nuke in the shot?
Chad did a bunch of those.
Okay.
I had to add the flicker.
Make it all warm and bright and flickery. Yeah.
Bam. Really, really hot, really bright.
And
it was.
Remember, originally, my direction to you was, I don't want it to... Like, we didn't have the glow, so it just seemed like something was flat. It looked like
it
literally,
like yeah,
it
yeah.
looked like a meat cloud.
Chad said, go ahead and fuck up the image. I'm like, yes,
cloud
sir.
Of meat, and we didn't,
yeah,
there
yeah.
was no glow. And I was like, well, that's not right. That's a nuke. It should be.
Quite hot. We're coming in too hot.
And then these shots, which are this
these
one,
are some Chad Peter shots
this
right
was,
here.
Put all these this was me. The tracking was by you or by Matt?
Matt. That back one looks great. This one's a little too purple for me, Chad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I tried to color correct that one.
Just wouldn't work?
Until I was blue in the face, and I just couldn't get it.
Again, adjusting an FM radio. What's your problem? FM
radio.
A lot of radio.
Now, one of these shots, Sarah was placed in. Is that right? Or did you never end up doing that?
It's once they parked.
Once they're stopped. So
and it's not that you just shot an empty car with Sarah in it. You shot the scene twice.
The most telling thing is the seat. So look at the seat right now. It's
the driver's seat?
Cloth, whatever.
Yeah.
You'll notice some shots that we cut to. It's a black leather. So it's a totally different car that we cut in between. And that's because we shot the scene. We shot the scene probably five different times, and I used shots from every single time we shot it.
You're going to have to keep talking because I'm paying attention.
We only had about 15 minutes of sun like this every time we shot, so if we didn't get it, we just had to come back another day because the sun is only like that for
sure,
you know,
yeah.
15, 20 minutes of the day.
Very brief, yeah.
And all this stuff, I was amazed that we actually finished the stuff of Sassy Boots here in one day.
There it is, leather.
Yeah, leather.
Wow, I had never noticed that before.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, Sarah's not even in those shots.
I like how subtle the cloud effect is there.
Like this.
You did the right thing in animating it very little. So if you're really looking for
just
it, it's
little,
all
yeah.
sort of evolving, but it's very subtle. Because it's big and it's giant and it's far away.
Just like me.
Evolving very little.
Yeah, I'm very big and giant and far away. Wow, Xander had the right response to that joke. Facepalm.
Like, no.
So So somehow this movie made sense.
Yeah, well, you know what's fun about it? I really, in a weird
this,
way, that,
okay, that's
the one.
That shot.
One. Yeah. That's the one.
So Nick and Sarah are not actually in that shot. We added them.
That's freaking
good job, buddy. Good job.
Yeah, I mean,
it's my last shot in the movie.
To me, the fun thing is that this really feels. Yeah, there you go. I'll give you.
And by the way, can I throw? Oh no, it's fine. It's I'm okay with it not being a thing. I love how cheesy it looks. I love how 50s it looks with the color
right.
correction.
Yeah, sure.
But this, if I die in a nuclear war,
hell yeah! Best tell about how you got the rights to that.
By the way, if you want to play it at home,
I
it's an E flat major,
yeah.
B flat, F. Just have fun with that.
It's funny that song actually has a really long story because it's a song that Devin Reed, whose name keeps popping up, he wanted to use that song back in 1999. He heard it in a coffee shop in San Diego. The artist is Calman Hart, and he's a San Diego guy. I think he's doing law now.
Hmm. Why did you put your name so low in the credits there, bud? Well, written and directed. There's like a whole cast and crew list before that.
Yeah, whatever. I know the truth.
Because your name is every other name in the credits, and you figured, why bother?
Right. Exactly. Anyway, so I just emailed him. I was like, hey, I don't think he's done anything musically in about 5 years.
Really?
Well,
I guess that
to my knowledge,
explain.
I don't
it's
wanna,
a great
I don't
song.
Want to insult the guy, but
oh, it's
a great
perfect,
song.
It's a perfect. I mean, because you got to understand too. You know, in all the processes of the editing changes that this movie went through, it also went through a lot of musical changes.
Right, but that stayed the same all.
That
the time.
Was always like,
and
dude,
I was always like,
you have to.
I have
it.
To find this guy,
yeah,
and I didn't know who it was at first. And then my buddy Ryan Jordan, who also plays Sassy Boots as right hand man, he was like, oh, it's this guy. And so I had to find out where he was and email him, and he was like, yeah, sure, absolutely. Just let me know when the screening is.
I like the way you broke up the visual effects there. Giant Ryan, nuke, asteroid, Teague. That's cool.
You like that?
Makes As sense. Opposed to just saying Ryan and Teague, it's just interesting to put it that way. You put personality on those effects.
Yeah.
You know, the shitty nukes were Teague, and the awesome giant was Ryan.
Would you prefer to be?
No, it's cool.
Singled out.
No, it's perfect. It's good, and it's nice when you're working with someone who you can like choose what your credit is. I did the same thing on a movie called Hunter Prey by Santa Clara. He was like, "What do you want your credit to be?" And I'm like, "I would like to differentiate myself potentially from the other effects." In this. Orbital ship effects, please. Yes.
Yeah, that's always good when you can say this, not that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I
a big deal.
You know, it's
I just did a credit reel for someone else's movie, and he's like, "I'm just going to give you the visual effects credit." I'm like, "Nope."
Please don't.
Nope. Titles. How about just titles?
I got offered a cinematography job
today.
There's
Rebecca Regan right there.
A cinematography job today, and I went and watched some of the footage they sent me, and I was like, because it was second unit stuff, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go in and have my name associated, because when they give you a credit,
real quick, look at this: North Hollywood, San Clemente, Dana Point, La Jolla, Thousand Palms, Djibouti,
Africa,
Djibouti, Africa. That was all the helicopter stuff.
Latest Extreme.
We're gonna have to stop this right when the credits are over. By the way, we have to shut up now.
Oh, we have to be done.
I had a great time working on this movie. I love Chad Peter. I love Apocalypse California.
Me too.
And if he ever makes Apocalypse Nevada, I'm in.
It would be
post-apocalypse.
Post-apocalyptic California. That's what I'm really excited about.
That's
that.
What it'd be cool.
Anyway, cool.
See these characters after the end of this movie.
Well,
bye, Chad.
Goodbye, everybody.
Happy apocalypse.
It's been real. It's been fun.
Hope you enjoyed this.
It's been real fun.
Random commentary.
Bye. I'm naked. I haven't been naked this whole time.
Bye bye.
You liked me, but nope, naked.
Booyah!
Nice.
That was a good commentary.